Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Dr. Kathy Cook. She has written a number of books, but her latest is Start with the Heart: How to Motivate Your Kids to Be Compassionate, Responsible, and Brave, Even When You're Not Around. So, Dr. Kathy, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
You believe that the relationship that parents have with their children is at the core of whether you're successful or not in seeing the long-term life that we want for our kids, don't you?
I do. I like the way you worded that, long-term, because we all have bad days, and kids have bad days, and there are seasons when, you know, it's more challenging. But I think, absolutely, when kids know that we care, they care what we think.
Yeah.
And so we need to press in and lean in and really work at this complex thing called parenting.
Well, and I appreciate the fact that, on the one hand, you recognize the need not just to affirm whatever your kids do and act as if, you know, listen, they're their own little unique creations and my job is just to be their friend. You believe that parents need to parent, but you are concerned about more than just behaviors. You want to really get at the heart of the matter, don't you?
Absolutely, and I'm sure you do too, Jim, because it's the heart. When the heart is transformed, then we don't need to be available to our kids all the time. So, you know, the subtitle of the book, Even When You're Not Around, mm-hmm. when if we do behavior management, when we're always there to reward the right behavior and, if you will, punish the things that we don't approve of, mm-hmm. then we have to be there for our kids to know whether or not they're doing well or not. But when we work with God to transform the heart toward righteousness and the right path of living, then we have a greater likelihood of having appropriately independent children mm-hmm. who aren't needing us at every moment to tell them whether or not they're doing well.
Yeah. When my wife and I teach on parenting, we typically title it Working Yourself Out of a Job.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, as you just stated, you want the kids to develop the capacity to do this when you're not there. I'm not always going to be there for my kids. I've got 7 children and 11 grandchildren. I love them all. And I would be not loving them well if I wanted to encourage them to be eternally dependent on me.
I love the way you've worded that. So we need to say no to the things that are no things, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to say yes to the things that are appropriate and have a solid standard of authority so that mm-hmm. our children learn, again, inherently and internally, you know, what is right and what is wrong. And
mm-hmm.
that means that we parent, as you said earlier, for the long haul,
mm-hmm.
that they would be friends with us when they're older. Like, I bet you're delighted that your older children want to hang with you.
Yes.
But I think parents who parent today to be friends of young children, mm-hmm. it's backwards. They're going to end up with kids who may not want to be with them later.
Yes. I just got back, my wife and I, from Israel, and 2 of our adult children and their wives went with us. All I can say is it was thrilling to have people in our tour group saying, "Wow, your kids are awesome." and they are. I mean, they are godly men who love Jesus and who have dedicated their lives to serving him. And they're now doing a great job as parents of their children. So it is a thrill when you can see what ultimately is a change that only God can bring in the heart.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Now, you talk about beliefs causing behavior. What are some components of shaping a child's behavior? And can a parent really create that desire to change in a child? Because all of us are born with a sin nature.
Right.
We've all got a problem when we start out in life. I never had to teach my kids to be selfish.
Right, right.
But, you know, ultimately, though God brings the change in the heart, God does use parents, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Yes, he does, for good and for bad, unfortunately, mm-hmm. I suppose. Mm-hmm. I do think that we can help kids want to change. I think we can help them be miserable for a while. You know, if we rescue children from all their pain and we're constantly, you know, the helicopter parent, if you like that analogy,
yeah.
then, you know, then they won't learn that there are consequences for the choices they make. I think kids need to learn from a young age that all behavior starts with choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is your responsibility to think things through. Your eyes did not roll by themselves. You chose to roll your eyes.
Yes.
And kids are like, no, you chose. So what's the belief behind the behavior? And if we don't pray for that and look for that and talk to our kids and observe longer and listen with greater intentionality, we may never learn the belief. And then again, we're only managing behavior,
right.
which means that we have to be there and they may not mature.
Well, one of the verses that really speaks to me about changing behavior, in 2 Peter, God inspires Peter to reach back to something from Proverbs, and he says, "Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud." And, you know, if the heart hasn't changed, you may be able to get compliance while they're living under your roof. You may be able to get compliance while they're living under your roof. But if the heart isn't changed, they're going to go right back to those old sinful patterns when they get out on their own.
Right. And it's sad. It's hard for parents of adult kids to observe that. So I wrote the book hoping to be an encouragement to parents of any age person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, Jim, the earlier that we start with this philosophy that relationship matters and parenting for the long term matters, mm-hmm. the better. But I really want to encourage your listeners that it is never too late. Teenagers and even young adult children will receive apologies
mm-hmm.
and will receive us with integrity when we recognize, you know, I think, you know, you're the oldest, you've always been the guinea pig, you know, we were trying some things, we made some mistakes, we're so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please come back and let's try to have this relationship thing again.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk a little bit, if you would, about the basic needs, five core needs that you teach about and how they're interrelated.
Yeah, I'd love to. I believe God creates us with five core needs that have to be met. When they're met in healthy things and primarily in God, then children and adults can have certainly more of an abundant life. Security, who can I trust? Children need to have trustworthy truth talkers and wisdom walkers that are in their lives. Children cannot place their security in things because things will fade away.
Right.
Their popularity or their behavior. A parent who has placed their security in a child's behavior
mm-hmm.
is in big trouble.
Because yes.
Children will misbehave, and then the parent crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Identity, who am I? Most kids don't ask us, you know, they don't look at you as a parent or a grandfather, hey, you know, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
But they're asking through their behavior, who am I? It's a core need we have to know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the more that we're in the Word of God, the more that we know who we are from the Creator who created us.
Amen.
With intentionality to be who we are. So are we in the Word, and are we expressing to our children what God says about them? And do the kids have trust in us so they'll come to us to find out who they are rather than listening to the lyrics of the songs
mm-hmm.
and the TV dialogue, which is going to tell them a whole different perspective about who they are.
Yes.
And then belonging, who wants me?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants me? And that's rooted in identity and security. If I don't know who I can trust and I don't know who I am, then I will not know who wants me.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not even be able to answer a really simple question that a kid has asked at a youth group, like, hey, how are you? And the kid is like, well, I really don't know.
Yeah.
Well, are we helping them? And you know what, Jim? We have an identity crisis in our culture.
Absolutely.
Right? And children are confused and trying to change what they should not change and not willing to change the things that have to work to change that are legitimate.
Amen.
And it stems from a lack of security and a confusion about identity. And then the belonging piece is, who are they listening to?
Right.
You know, who are they hanging with? And then purpose, why am I alive? Why was I created for such a time as this?
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have anyone to serve and I don't know my strengths and I don't have anyone that I can really trust at my core, then I won't believe that I'm alive on purpose, for purpose, and that is the root of depression, anxiety, and suicide. And then we get to competence. What do I do well? And all of us were created by God with a desire internally to be well and do well. And do if we don't have purpose, we don't need to do well or be well, right? If I don't know why I'm alive, nothing matters. So when I, you know, writing a book about motivation, when I look at apathy, when I look at kids willing to be average, when I look at the lack of diligence, perseverance, responsibility, and compassion in our culture, that's all competence, but it's all rooted in the lack of those first four.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's a wonderful summary. And it seems to me that not only are many parents less intentional than they should be about communicating those areas to their kids, but we also often allow children to grow up in an environment, an educational environment, that explicitly teaches them that life is an accident, that the human species is just, you know, a result of random chance and time. It's not something that was designed. It's not that you were created by God and that He has a purpose for your life. And if you grow up hearing every day that you are essentially just a highly evolved bit of slime, that isn't real good motivation for making responsible choices and having a hopeful outlook on life.
Oh my goodness, my friend, absolutely true. It saddens me the number of people who don't know they were created in the image of God, or if they know that, they don't know what that means. And they don't understand that the more that you know God, the more you learn about yourself, and it's a win-win. And then, you know, they also don't know the truth of Ephesians 2:10, which teaches that in advance we were created with good work, and we should walk in that. So become who you were created to be.
Yes.
Stop, you know, stop lusting after somebody else's ability, gifting, beauty, or whatever. And find out who are you and why are you the who you are and what does that mean for your today and your tomorrow. When we parent with that mindset that we were given amazing children, created in the image of God for His glory, and we get to unpack them and help them discover who they are, hello, motivation. Absolutely.
That's great.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand. But
the waves are folks, we're talking with Dr. Kathy Cook. The book we're talking about is her latest, Start with the Heart, How to Motivate Your Kids to Be Compassionate, Responsible, and Brave, Even When You're Not Around. It's a wonderful book. The foreword is by Kirk Cameron, and I would just encourage you to take a look at that. I believe many of our listeners will find this very helpful material. Now, when you talk about three motivational beliefs, knowing what children value, it's going to make a difference in how you assign tasks, isn't it?
It is, for sure. For sure. You know, if somebody values, even let's take a simple example of somebody loving the out of doors. Maybe that's the child who you ask to weed the garden with you. Not that all kids can't learn that and shouldn't be responsible, but maybe that's the kid who wants to do that and wants to spend quality time with you while you're doing that because they too love nature and enjoy fresh air.
Yes. I remember when I was in college and not exactly training for an outdoor job, but in the evening I'd be walking across campus and seeing the moon or seeing the stars, seeing the clouds moving across the sky. And I said to the Lord, Father, I will serve you anywhere that you want me to go and I'll do whatever you want me to do. but I find it easiest to praise you when I'm in the outdoors. Now, as the years have gone by, I haven't, I now like to look at the outdoors through glass. I've gotten, in my old age, I've gotten very appreciative of climate control. But I definitely am more prone than many of the people I know to notice what is happening in, you know, the seasons, in the sunset, in a rock that's beside the road, or some creature that comes running across our driveway, whether it's a bear or a wild turkey or whatever. We live in the woods. God mercifully put me on the side of a mountain for most of my life now. And he knows how to put us where we belong. And I think one reason that a lot of kids don't respond as they might is because parents don't learn to know their kids.
Yes, yes. And you know what? A lot of parents don't know themselves.
Well, amen.
Right. They maybe weren't parented with a positive, optimistic, enthusiastic vision. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're overwhelmed and busy and really very legitimately concerned about whatever. And if we lose sight of our magnificence, right, then we have a hard time looking at our kids who are misbehaving, believing that there's something good there. So, you know, what do we believe about ourselves? And mm-hmm. can we pass on the right beliefs?
And this is not at all trying to build self-esteem without recognizing the reality of a sin nature and the reality of God's standards of morality. This is about recognizing that, well, for instance, my oldest son was born with spina bifida. He is a shunt-dependent hydrocephalic. He, you know, has had over 40 surgeries in his 40 years of life. But he, let me tell you, anybody who knows him, really knows him, knows that he is magnificent. And anybody who knows us knows that we think he's magnificent. That doesn't mean we think he's flawless. It doesn't mean we think he's perfect. It does mean that God had a splendid plan for our son when he formed him in his mother's womb. And so, you know, when you talk about our magnificence, I want folks to understand this is not a bunch of hot air. This is not, you know, an unwillingness to face the fact that all of us are flawed, that, you know, there's been a fall since creation, and that all of us not only are created in the image of God, but all of us also bear scars from the fall, from sin. But if we focus on the scars, focus on the brokenness, focus on that, and there are people who are doing that right now. I mean, to them, it's all about recognizing that basically we're just worms. And you're saying, no, God has made us beautiful. And there is a beauty there for all of us.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the passion you have about that, and I praise God that you and your wife were able to embrace your son. Mm-hmm. It angers me, saddens me, and alarms me how little that's done, if I can put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk in the book about our need to be a teacher, a coach, a cheerleader, and a referee.
Yes.
We do need to call sin, sin. Mm-hmm. We do need to call foul. We do need to say, keep your hands to yourself.
Yep.
And it's in the context of, there's so much more that God intended for you when he chose to make you you. You know, you were called to an abundant life. That's why Jesus died for you.
Yes.
And you're not going to ever find that if you wallow in your sin. So it's my job as a parent to teach you about righteousness, to coach you to the right path, and to help you stay there, and to cheer you appropriately, to change the cheer when I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, you know, doesn't work in the fourth quarter if you're down by 31 points. So, you know, again, do I know my child well enough to change the cheer? And will I bravely be the referee and blow the whistle?
Yes.
And you know what I have found, Jim? When I'm a teacher, coach, and cheerleader, I will not need to ref as often.
Praise God. That's a good word. That is a very good word.
Thank you.
You know, I think it's also vital for parents to recognize, and you certainly deal with this, but it's vital for parents to recognize we're not in this alone. Even single parents need to learn to depend on God and realize God loves my children even more and better than I do. And when I don't know how to deal with this situation or with this child, God knew what he was doing when he put that child in my family. And, you know, we've got, as I mentioned, 7 kids and 4 of them are adopted. And the ones we adopted, we got the youngest of the adopted, we got at age 7. So we got some kids with miles on them. We got some kids who'd been through trauma. We got some kids who'd been through hardship that is beyond what most people could even imagine. But, you know, it was clear that God had put those kids in our home for a reason. And I want parents who are listening to realize you may feel like I've got a child who just doesn't belong. God put that child in your life for a reason. And you are not alone in this parenting thing. But I do want to tell our listeners that this book, Start with the Heart, by Dr. Kathy Cook, is a real informative, inspiring, helpful guide on how to do a better job of parenting.
Thank you so much. Let me affirm what you're saying. I love to tell parents that you are the perfect parent for your imperfect children, right? You're not perfect,
yes,
but you're the perfect parent because God chose you,
yes,
with that child, whether adopted or biologically born to you. Absolutely. And what a difference it makes to know that and the knowing of your knowing on the good days and on the bad days.
Amen.
Praise God.
It really is all the difference when you know that God is with you in this journey, that he is not your opponent. He is there because he loves these children. And it doesn't mean you can't call on others to come alongside you and offer counsel and help. That's otherwise, you wouldn't have written this book. You wouldn't be trying to help people in this journey. But if folks realize you're never alone, whether it's 3 a.m. and you can't sleep, or whether it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you're thinking, I've got to have a nap before I can fix supper.
Right. It's not easy today to parent. The culture's chaotic. People are messy.
Yep.
Let's admit that we need help. That's really, really, really wise. Get help from the right sources.
Exactly.
And, you know, pray and search out the truth of God. And I pray that you're in a church where there are people you can be vulnerable with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't try to do it alone. Really dangerous, really foolish.
And there's no shame in saying, excuse me, I need some help. Can somebody help me with this? Anybody have any answers for this? And folks, if somebody asks you that, you might want to refer them to this book. Start with the Heart. Kathy, you have been doing this for a number of years. You've written a number of books. You are, in this book, endorsed by everybody from Jim Daly at Focus on the Family to John Stone Street, who's the president of the Colson Center, to the foreword by our buddy Kirk Cameron. And again, you are writing not as sort of a newcomer to the subject, and nor just as a PhD. I know some PhDs who are brilliant and helpful and wise, and then I know others. And you are writing with biblical wisdom, and I really appreciate that. So again, I would not commend your material if I didn't believe it really could be helpful. And so please know that we appreciate it, and I hope we'll have a chance to have you back on the program. And I hope that you'll become familiar with the work we're doing here, coming alongside parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents sometimes who are charged with trying to raise kids. We have a ministry called Ware's Valley Ranch, and a school here called St. Andrew's School. And I believe if you look at our stuff, you'll find that you and I are thinking alike on many subjects.
Jim, I'm going to do that. I have the URLs, so I'm going to do that and check out your material for sure, because I can tell from this interview that you have a heart of gold.
Bless you.
Really have enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much for
Thank
your
you,
endorsement
God.
Of my book. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.